Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Thank you so much for being patient with us on this Monday. We had a couple of technical glitches, but luckily we are live and ready to go, and a happy new year to everybody out there, wherever in the world you might be tuning in from. Today, before I introduce our guest, I'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the people at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, so please do keep them in mind for all of your professional recruiting, executive search, and temporary staffing needs. Today I have with us on the show Jason Zook. Jason is a serial entrepreneur who has made millions through various weird methods, including wearing t-shirts, auctioning off his last name twice, and selling off his future, buymyfuture.com. He's built online courses and software platforms and has written for major media outlets, including Entrepreneur.com, CNBC, Business Insider, and Huffington Post. He lives in San Diego with his wife, Caroline, and his dog, Plaxico. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jason.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate you hitting all of the important details on the intro, obviously.
I'm most interested in the dog named Plaxico. Is that the correct pronunciation of the dog?
It is. If there are any Midwesterners who listen to your show, they may remember one Plaxico Burress who played for Michigan State before he became infamous for shooting himself in a nightclub, which is not why I named my dog after him. I had a second family that was a Michigan State family, and they kind of, you know, adopted me as a Michigan State fan. So I said, I'll either have a dog or a child named Plaxico because his name is amazing and he was a great player at the time. And so I had, you know, I got a dog, and then a couple of years later, the unfortunate event happened. And now people are like, you mean the guy who shot himself in the leg? And I'm like, yeah, but it was before that, I promise. But he's cool. He's a fun little dog, and his name very much suits his personality.
That is amazing. And as a quick side note to any of our listeners anywhere in the world who might be considering becoming a digital nomad, for those of you who aren't familiar with the term, it's a up and coming popular thing where those of us who have jobs where we can work remotely, we kind of travel around the world. We have no home. I'm currently living out of a carry-on suitcase and an over-the-shoulder bag, which is a lot of fun. But I will tell you, for folks out there with a Plaxico in their lives, I have a little red poodle, and I found out the hard way, Jason, you cannot bring a dog to Bali. So for anybody out there who's thinking, it's going to be lots of fun, I'm just going to up and bring my dog to Bali, I can tell you the airlines that will allow you to fly with your dog in the cabin, but the bad news is they will not let that dog get on Bali soil. So FYI, for anybody out there thinking of traveling the world with your dog.
Well, my wife and I have a plan to live in Europe for a year, and we're kind of just, you know, keep Plaxico's ears closed, but he's on his last couple of time here. So, and it's, you know, we've had many conversations with him about it. He's very comfortable. He's very happy. But we're just kind of like, when he goes, we will then move because we don't plan on taking him because it'd be really rough on him. But yeah, we're excited to kind of live the nomad lifestyle. We can work from wherever as well. So it's very exciting and interesting to do that.
Yeah, I love it. So this is a perfect intro to our episode of Own Your Weird. So tell me about where you came up with this concept of Own Your Weird and how we can actually all embrace owning our own weirdness.
Yeah, I think I've been owning my weird for a long time. And listen, the publisher who was a part of this Running Press, you know, they wanted, you know, a catchy title for a book, something that stands out. And so for me, you can replace the word weird with whatever you want, whether it's your uniqueness, whether it's what makes you different, whether it's if you're crazy, you know, whatever it is that just makes you stand out. That's the entire ethos of the book. It's been my entire journey for the past now 13 years as an entrepreneur, is really just to understand, especially as things evolve technologically and online, and anyone can build a business these days very quickly, now that anyone can, you really do have to find what makes you stand out from everybody else. And by all means, if you're going to start a business and you're picking a market, like let's say you wanted to start a podcast hosting company, since podcasting is very popular these days, it's a great market to go in because it's growing. People are listening to podcasts, but you can't just create a copycat version of whatever somebody else has made. You have to find your own weird, unique, different way to do it because there's so many people that can do things so quickly. So really this book is about starting a business, finding your own way to do that. But it's also about living your life in a way that feels congruent to who you are, you know, having the red poodle, wanting to go to Bali, whatever those things are. We only get this one life. My good buddy AJ Leon has said, this is not your practice life. And I've lived by that for the past decade, just really understanding that, yeah, you know what, like, we should enjoy everything we do, the people around us, all this. So that is really kind of own your weird in a nutshell.
I love that. And I think it's our weirdness is kind of, it's so funny. You think of quantum weirdness, which is the whole quantum physics term of the stuff they can't quite explain in, you know, science world. But I love this idea of owning your weirdness because I, you know, many years ago, I remember when I told my parents I was opening a company and giving up my six-figure a year job to go, you know, pay for other people's bills and run a company. And my parents thought I had lost my mind and was completely weird, of course. But I think that's the great thing is in today's society, here we are in 2020, the first week of the first decade of a new, basically, time in our lives. And we can choose to be or do whatever we want to be. No matter how weird it sounds, you can make money at it. I think our parents would have all thought we were crazy if you had said you could make money from playing video games. And now look at all the people with Twitch and those different games that you can make money doing just about anything.
Yeah. And I mean, it's crazy to think about, right? I mean, I think you and I are relatively close in age. And there was a time when the internet wasn't even really a thing, you know, like we,
AOL.
Been such, yeah, exactly. Like I remember CompuServe, you know, for all the gateway computer owners out there who had the cow box with your computer in it. Like there was a time in our lifetime just now when you couldn't just spin up a website and start a business. And so this whole thing for me, I think is very exciting in this book and everything I've tried to share and everything I've learned over the years, similar story to you, is that it's never been easier to do this than any other time in history that we've all been alive. So take advantage of it now, but figure out your own way to really be happy about what you're doing, be excited about what you're doing, because yeah, you could stay at a 9-to-5 job, you could work for somebody else, but you don't really have to do that anymore. And I think that's the really exciting thing about the time we live in and all these opportunities. It's now about trying to figure out, okay, but what really works for me, because how someone else, you know, how I run my business or how you run yours may not be at all how someone listening to this wants to run theirs. And that's great. So it's about figuring out what works best for you and your life.
Yeah, so let's talk about that because some of our listeners might be tuning in and they might still be sitting at their 9-to-5 job. It's 4:15 here on the West Coast, give or take. And people might just be banging their head against the proverbial wall thinking, oh, is this all there is pushing papers for the rest of my life? How do you even begin to explore your weirdness and to play with it and to find a way, most importantly, to make money out of it?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a double-edged sword because when you work a 9-to-5 job, you do have more security than most of us who work for ourselves because you just need to show up, you do the work you're supposed to do, and you get that paycheck every week or 2 weeks or month or whatever. So that's actually a great thing because then you know, okay, I have the financial security. I can build something on the side and I can really lean into what do I just want to do? Like, what is that big idea? What is that unique thing? And the kind of other side of that sort is you only have so much time to do it then, right? You only have the couple hours a night, or if you're a morning person, a couple hours in the morning or on the weekends. So you don't have the luxury of a full-time schedule to devote to your dream or to whatever thing you want to do. But I do think that people who are at a 9-to-5 job, because I was there, it sounds like you were there too, you're in a position where you're probably not going to be this financially secure for many years if you want to start your own thing. And that's a great thing. So start saving up money, start reducing your expenses as much as possible. Start taking chances with different ideas that you have, anything that you've thought about that you just can't get out of your mind. You know, that's for me when I know I've come up with a great idea is not when I think of something in the shower and I go, oh, that's really good, I should try that. It's the ideas that stick around for a couple of days, weeks, or months, or maybe even years for people. If you can't get out of your head, that means you need to chase that idea down. So what's the smallest version of that? How can you get that idea up, get it in front of people? And I think one thing that a lot of people who are at the 9-to-5 world, they want to jump into the world of entrepreneurship, they do, is they try and jump too quickly, too deeply. So try and just get your first customer. Try and get the first version of whatever it is you want as your business out there. Try and get your website up. Don't try and do it all. And don't put the pressure on yourself to replace all of your 9-to-5 income. I think there are so many people in this space who just want you to quit your job and dive into this. I'm the antithesis of that. I talk about that in the book as well. I think that you should take it slower, create a plan for yourself. It took me 6 months to build a plan to get out of my 9-to-5 job. And I was probably already working on it for months before that without even being intentional. But that's the trick, is to really figure out what you want to be doing, build a plan, test and tweak and do these things in the time that you have. And don't put so much pressure on yourself to find this amazing idea to leave your job, because that's where you start to run into a lot of the businesses that fail quickly, people who get burnt out, they end up going back to a 9-to-5 job, those things.
Yeah, it's funny. I remember one of my mentors years ago told me a really great piece of advice. He said, whether you're looking to, you know, get a divorce, leave a job, do anything in life that's a big change, you know, sell your things, pack up your bags and go travel the world. He said, be sure to always ask yourself, are you doing it from a place of fear or are you doing it from a place of love? And he said, if you're doing it from a place of fear, you're not ready. Reflect, meditate, do the inner work, whatever it is you have to do, but continue to go down that path before you take that first step, because it takes a certain level of certainty to be able to take that first step into the proverbial unknown. If you've never opened a company before, traveled the world, or given up all your belongings, or gone through, you know, dramatic life change like a divorce, that's not something that you take lightly. And I always think of it as being analogous to, I think it was the third Indiana Jones movie where he's trying to get to the Holy Grail, of course, and he has to take that first step on that path that you can't see. It just looks like this 1,000-foot deep ravine. And Indiana Jones has to know with perfect certainty that that first step, even though he can't see it, he's going to be able to find a way to walk to the other side. And I think that's what entrepreneurship is, and being successful at any endeavor, it's having absolute certainty that no matter what you do, you're going to be successful, and not doing it from a place of fear where you're just having a crappy day at work or frustrated with your significant other and think, oh, okay, I've had enough. I'm going to throw in the towel.
Yeah. And there's something to be said too, just about understanding that it's not, there's no overnight success for any of us, for anybody that you read about, for anybody that you hear about. You know, in my book, I make it very clear that it took me, you know, 10 years to get to where I am today. It took me multiple years to come up with a great idea that was noteworthy and worth being on the Today Show and all these other things. And it can seem like when you are looking at people where you want to be where they are, you see this finish line that's beautiful and easy to get to, but you do miss all of that Indiana Jones stepping out on the invisible path. You don't see all of that. And that is the thing that we all have to go through. Every single person has to figure that out. So that's why I talk a lot about slowing down, giving yourself more time than you think, you know, really leaning into some of these ideas that you have and figuring out, okay, do I actually want to be doing this? Or is this just something that seems maybe a little bit better than what I have right now? And that's why I think testing, experimenting, trying things out, especially when you're at a 9-to-5 job, it's a beautiful time, because as much as you feel suffocated by the job, and trust me, I remember what it feels like to drive to an office, sit in a cubicle, like everything was beige in my existence at that time. I remember that soul-sucking time in my life, but I also know now how stressful it is when things don't go right and, you know, things are not easy and all that stuff. And I look back a little bit with rose-colored glasses and go, man, kind of wish I was just doing this on the side sometimes, because you do have a lot more ability to just go, oh, I'll just put that off for a while. It doesn't have to work for me. I still have my 9-to-5 job. So there is a lot of nuance into starting your own business, into leaning into what you really believe and want to be doing, and knowing that it's going to take longer than you possibly think or want.
So let's talk about how you play with that idea. Let's say you have this passion. Some people, it might be writing. I was actually with a dear friend of mine this weekend who's a very creative, great writer, very inspirational, started a blog a few years ago, and then kind of stopped with the blog. How do you begin to test and see, number one, is it a good idea? Number two, is it a marketable idea? And number three, is it an idea that you can monetize? How do you even begin to go on that journey?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest mistakes, especially the creative people make, because I'm a creative person myself, is you have an idea and you see the potential for a way for it to make money, but it's not clearly a business that other people understand. So a blog is a perfect example. it's very easy to go, all right, I'm going to write blog posts every week or every day or whatever, and then I'm going to get sponsors and I'm going to get advertisers and I'm going to make money. Maybe I'll make an online course in a year from now. And all of that is well and good. But if you're not the type of person that can sit down in the chair and write a blog post every day or every week, you're doomed to fail. You know, you've set yourself up because you can't do something based on a business model that requires you to show up and be consistent. And the other part of that is when people have an idea, but like this was me in 2008, I had this idea for this I Wear Your Shirt business where I wanted to get paid to wear a t-shirt every day and promote that on social media. Now, we all see that today in 2020 as influencer marketing. It's a thing that exists. We all get it. In 2008, it did not exist. And so it was a really tough uphill battle to explain to companies why I should wear their shirt on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and why they all wanted me to go to a mall because more people would see me in person. And they just didn't get it. They couldn't see that I could capture that attention. So it's really about trying to find a business model that you can go, there is an existing market. Like I mentioned the podcast hosting company earlier, that may sound really boring to you, but guess what? A lot of people are spending their money on that. And if you have any interest at all, and you can carve out your own niche for that, that's a good opportunity because people are really interested. And I don't think you should always just chase good opportunities, but I think it's about balancing out, what do you want to be doing? Where can you sit in the chair every day and spend your time? What markets do people understand right now that you don't have to beat them over the head with to say that this is a good idea? And then where are people already spending their money? So it becomes a little bit easier for you to get the first sale, the first customer, the first sponsor, as opposed to trying to reinvent a wheel and you have all these other hurdles you have to jump over.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that you really have to be willing to confront your own demons. It's much easier to go to a job where you might have some level of accountability. Yes, you have to get the report that's due in by Friday, but the level of accountability that you have when you eat what you kill as a business owner, you have to look at the dark side of yourself. You have to look at, did I put off that project or sending that client an invoice? I had a dear friend of mine who was beside herself because she had over $12,000 in outstanding invoices that was, 2 months of overhead, and her client hadn't paid her for a couple of months. And that was make or break it. But she could also see that as the person in charge of her own business, she hadn't been aggressive enough in sending the invoices and following up. And you have to do it all. You have to be the marketer. You have to be the HR person. You have to be the customer service person. And so I invite any of you out there who are considering maybe entrepreneurship or doing something weird or outside the box to ask yourself, are you willing to push yourself to your edge? And if you are, take that dive, take that Indiana Jones step, because it's the greatest gift to be able to be your own boss and to be able to create something, even if it fails. My first business failed miserably in 2009 because I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't have a plan. But then a year later, when I created a second business, I was able to learn from those mistakes, dust myself off, and then do it better the second time.
Yeah. And I think everybody listening to this should know you are going to fail. I'm very yes. sorry to be the one to break
Epic
this to you.
Epic failures.
Yeah. You've failed. I've failed multiple times. Every single successful business owner I know has failed at some point. It is just part of the process. And like you said, you do have to be willing to dive in and take on all of the things. And I think you also have to really, like you said, kind of know your demons is what I call outsourcing your weaknesses. So what are the things that just really hang you up about thinking about starting your own business? Or even if you have your business now and you're really held back, for me, it's accounting and bookkeeping and like taxes. I just don't get it. I don't understand how anyone gets it. It doesn't make sense to me. But I finally found a great bookkeeper and a great accountant. And I can say that I trust them. I know that they know these things. My accountant this year found us a way to save $7,000 in our taxes with some new entrepreneurial, I'm going to call it a loophole, but it is actually like a legit thing that you can do. But I wouldn't have found that. I would never have looked for that. And it's also because I don't like doing this. So if you're someone who's getting started, I don't think at the very beginning you could outsource customer service and the creation of the content for your thing and managing your customers. I don't think you can immediately outsource those things, but I think you can work your way into figuring out, all right, what is my weakest link in my business? And how can I find someone or some company to help manage that or do that for me? And it's not going to break the bank. And maybe that's something you just have to plan for as you're leaving a 9-to-5, if you're that type of person, where you go, I know I'm going to need to spend $1,500 a month for someone to do my marketing because I just don't get it, then you need to save up for that. And that has to be something that you do. Now, I do think you should also learn it so that you can speak the same language as the person that you're paying to do these things. But there is also something to be said for knowing where your shortcomings are and not trying to do it all, but understanding you just need to figure out how to jump over some of those weaknesses when you get started, because we all have.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing, Jason, that I think is helpful, there are so many great life hacks that we can all use. I haven't tried it yet, but I plan to in the near future. I heard GoDaddy bought a company called Main Street Hub that, to your point, I think you can outsource your marketing. They handle your social, your marketing for, don't quote me on this, but maybe a $500 or $1,000 a month. And then you have other websites like Fiverr. I had to write two white papers. I had the opportunity to write two white papers in the legal industry in the last 2 years. And I love writing, but not scientific, you know, writing where it has to be spoken in a certain way. And I had to outsource, you know, that writing aspect to an editor. So I wrote the paper and then had to have an editor from Fiverr put it in white paper format for me, because that would have just made me poke out my eyeballs figuring out citations, you know, Chicago style citation. And same thing with virtual assistants. I think more so now, to your earlier point, than ever before, we have all of these amazing little life hacks. You know, I know other people too, where there are people that you can hire, for example, in the Philippines or in India, who to them, $5 is a huge amount of money, and you might be able to outsource customer service or something to that effect. And all of these things can be very, very valuable when it comes to how am I going to create my next business. And one of the things I like that you said too is that outsourcing the things you're not good at. There was a book, and I'm drawing a blank on it. It was by Curtis Estes. And it was, what I remember specifically about the book is he had a pyramid. And at the top of the pyramid, much like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you had at the top of the pyramid the thing that brought you the most joy. You know, that thing, maybe it's marketing, creativity, getting on the phone with clients, whatever that is, that's what goes at the top, your favorite activities. Then you go down until you get to the bottom of the pyramid, which is the things you just detest doing. And the goal as an entrepreneur is to work your way up the triangle till eventually you have outsourced, to your point, anything you don't enjoy doing. And then that's real freedom as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's such an important thing. Again, it's like the being successful as an entrepreneur. You are not going to get to the top of that pyramid in week one, month one, maybe even year one, two, or three. But it's an ongoing goal. It's an ongoing process. And that to me is so much even just about the idea of the book of owning your weird, is whether it's business or whether it's relationships or whether it's life decisions or romance, none of it is going to happen because you picked up a book and it gave you the answer. As much as an author, I want to tell you that my book is going to solve all your problems, no author can tell you that. All we can tell you is that this is the life that we've lived. These are the experiences that we've had. These are the things we've learned. And we hope that you can take something away from them that impacts your life, that has you go, oh, you know what? I do want to do that. You know, that is the thing that I've wanted to change about my life or my friendships or my job or whatever. And that's the win. And I think that if you're a person in the situation where you're thinking about leaving a 9-to-5 job, or you're thinking about starting a business, or maybe you have your own business right now, it's about just trying to find these little wins in all these different places and constantly be experimenting. You know, I love when you bring up things like, you know, the GoDaddy Hub, whatever it was called. Those, to me, my wife and I always say life is an experiment, is just try it. Just spend $500 for 1 month and see what happens with it. Because you can put all the guesswork into what could happen, but you'll never know until you actually do it. And every business is different. Even if they say that they can get you results on similar businesses, it might not work for your business. So you won't know until you try. And I think all of those things are just such great things as a person who's evolving all, you know, throughout all of life, is just to continue to experiment, continue to try things, continue to do things that maybe push you out of your comfort zone a little bit. Those are the things where you find the most growth, and that you really figure out the things you want to be doing and that you don't want to be doing.
Let's talk for a minute, because I can hear the sound of the thinking of some of the people who are tuning into today's show. And what they're saying is, okay, fine. Well, you guys probably have it easy. You don't have kids. You don't have debt. How do you handle it? What if you do have debt? What if you have other things? Can you still create your own weirdness and your own dream?
Oh, I'll give you some like really real talk behind the scenes stuff here. So a couple years ago, my wife and I were $124,000 in debt. My first business, wow, which I said would fail, gave me $100,000 of that debt. I just mismanaged the money. I didn't know how to handle employees and salaries and expenses. And it just all, I was trying to do everything. And I was never prioritizing figuring out how to be better at all those things. I was just stuck in this loop. And I just didn't know what to do. I was very young. I was very naive. And I learned so many lessons from that, that over the past couple of years, as you mentioned this intro, I've been able to make millions of dollars doing this. But, and here's the real talk, this past year, 2019, my wife got hit with crippling anxiety. And at the same time, we were combining two of our businesses into one new business, which basically had to start over from scratch. Intentionally, we wanted to do this, but I lost my partner. I lost my partner in life and in business, and not completely, thankfully, but she wasn't able to be her full self, which brings 50%, if not more, to everything that we do. And we ended up picking up a little bit of debt again. And we are now, for the first time in like 5 years, going, wait, what? We have some credit card debt? How did this happen? We've been doing so well. And it's because life will hit you in the face when you least expect it. And you just have to know that it happens to all of us. And as upset as it makes us to feel like we're falling back into where we were before, we're not. We know so much. We have so many opportunities. And we also have to realize I was not with the partner that I've had all of last year in the same way that we were the years before. And so now this year that she's feeling better, you know, thankfully, we can get back to where we were and we can work back to that. But last year we just had to realize it's not going to work for us. We can't hustle through it. It's just not going to happen. We have to take this year more slowly. We have to dip into savings. We have to take on a little bit of debt. But that's okay. That's all part of the process. And if anyone tells you that you're just going to be able to figure out business, you're going to be profitable for the rest of your life, I would love to meet that person because I don't think it's realistic. I think we all go through these ups and downs. Markets change, your life changes, your circumstances change, and you just have to be willing to be resilient and you have to be willing to be vulnerable at times. And you also have to be willing to not let it completely derail all the good stuff that you've done over the years and know that, hey, it's not going to be like this forever. We can beat this. We just need to recalibrate, readjust, and come back to it.
I think that's brilliant, Jason, because I think, you know, people oftentimes put someone on a pedestal, somebody maybe who's an author or an influencer or whoever it might be, and they think, oh, that person has it all and they don't have obstacles in their lives. And, you know, I'm here to tell you, even last year for me too, it was one of the most challenging years of my life. Went through the divorce, you know, my grandma passed away and, you know, transitioned out of the company that had bought my company into a different role. And although it felt, to your point, crippling at some times, it, you know, you only are given what you can handle. I look at it like soul school. Sometimes we need to, you know, go through different obstacles to help grow ourselves in the areas that we're weaker in. And that's what I love about this is, you know, helping people understand we all have obstacles. We have loss. We have love. We have sadness, happiness. And it's not about who we are in the moments of great, you know, happiness when everything's going well and we have hundreds of thousands of dollars or even all of our debt paid off or whatever it is. But, you know, it's who we are in the moments when we're knocked down to our knees because of debt, because of loss, because loved ones aren't doing well. And we still dust ourselves off, get back up and go, okay, I failed. I'm sad. I'm depressed. I had that mistake. How do I learn from it? And I think that's the differentiator between people who are able to have sustainable success and those who don't, is that we all go through the same types of adversities, not the exact same adversities, but the same types of adversities. And it's not in, you know, the falling down, it's in the getting back up.
Yeah. And I will say that, you know, my wife and I, this new business that we run, we have the whole community that we've built. We have hundreds of customers. And one of the things that they love the most about us is sharing this exact part of it. Is being honest and real with them that, hey, even for us, the people that you look up to, maybe you put us on a pedestal when you decided to pay us money to join this community, you realize, oh, they have failures just like I do. They have missteps just like I do. They get slapped in the face just like I do. And how did they deal with it? Oh, okay, it's interesting. They don't just, you know, dust themselves off and everything's perfect. They may dust themselves off, but they still have to like trudge through the mud and they have to figure out how to make these things right again and have to recalibrate. And all of that stuff, I think if you are in this position to start your own thing or to think about starting a thing, try and find a community of like-minded people who are also on the same level as you. I think it's very dangerous when people go, you know, I'm just getting started out and I'm going to join this group of people who are already making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And it really, you know, it can be motivating, but can also be really crippling because you can't relate to all of the problems and things they're going through, as opposed to finding a group of people who might be on the same level as you where, yeah, there's some growth and there's some opportunity for you to learn from them, but you also feel like you're having common issues and you're having common problems that you can work together. And I will say that this community that we run, we are constantly just loving this group of people because we all run into similar things. And whether there's an extra zero in some of our bank accounts or not, none of that matters to us at all. We just care about, we want to live a good life. We want to show up as our authentic selves. We want to embrace everything that makes us weird. And we want to have fun doing it. Again, you don't get another life after this, as far as we all know. So let's try and make the best of this one. Let's try and really own what we love and enjoy and what we want to do, and not just stay stuck in a certain situation just because something happened to us.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that there's a part of your book that I would love for you to touch on before we wrap up today's show. I think it's the last part of the book where you talk about the blueprint for success and connecting to authenticity. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, I have fallen prey to this many times over the years. I've written tons of articles over the years, hundreds at this point. And, you know, many of them have been the like how-to guide of here's how to set up your business. Here's how to do these things. And I've even fallen into the trap of saying, follow these steps and you'll be successful. And I think the point at the end of the book and kind of the whole book itself is you have to create your own blueprint. And you can read all of these self-help books. You can read all these how-to articles. You can follow someone else's steps every single step of the way, but it's never going to work out the same. And so what I want everyone to do, whether you read my book or not, is just to understand you create your own path. You create your own blueprint. You are the one who is Indiana Jones standing at the bridge, and you have to decide, okay, I don't know exactly where I'm going to go next. I have a couple ideas because I've read a bunch of things, but it's your blueprint that you're going to create for your specific life. And you get to define whatever that means, where you live, who you surround yourself with, how much time you spend with friends and family, how much time you work, what you work on, all of these different things. We just live in such an amazing time. And I see so many people that are staying stuck when they should know that you can create your own blueprint. And it may start very small, and it may just be like a little step that you take here or there, but those little steps will add up over time. And that's really what's been beneficial for me. All the people that I know who left their own 9-to-5 jobs and started their own businesses, it's the same exact thing. No one has just opened up a business and they've been successful. It's always this little path that they carve out and they figure out their own way that really resonates with them and makes them really happy.
I think that's brilliant. And something I invite our listeners to play around with, it's just play with it. The thing you want to think about anything Jason or I have said today or in any interview that we've ever done on this show is try it on like a coat. Not everything is going to fit. You know, you might try it on and say, oh, this fits or it doesn't. Throw it back in the closet if it doesn't fit. But this thing I invite you to try on this year is try on speaking about what you're committed to. That's my biggest commitment for everybody I talk to this year, personally and professionally, is watch your words. If you go out there in the world and you're committed that by the end of this year, you have some sort of business that is maybe it's an additional supplemental income, maybe you want it to be your ideal job. Throw it into conversations. Make yourself a little bit uncomfortable. Say, I don't know what it looks like, but by the end of this year, I'm going to create a company and it's going to be profitable. And I'm just intending that the right people are going to show up in my life. And I guarantee you, if you begin to have that conversation with friends, with strangers, with family members, with people you might not even like that much, your entire world will begin to shift. Because when you change that conversation and transform it from one of lack and fear and scarcity of, oh, I couldn't, it's too hard, and Jason and Jennifer said it's hard, so I can't. You know, if you just go, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm going to be successful. And by the end of this year, I'm going to have a business and it's going to be thriving, and I may make some mistakes, but it'll work itself out and I'm going to learn from it. That's the conversation I invite people to have this year.
Yeah, I love that. And I'll finish off with one quote that I kind of live my life by these days, which is the Karen Lamb quote of, a year from now, you're going to wish you started today. And there's no better time to start. I mean, as of recording this, we're in a new decade. We're in, you know, the beginning of a year. It's very exciting. There's a lot of momentum, but no matter when you start, 1 year from now, you're going to look back and go, oh, I wish I'd just written that first blog post or had that first conversation, like you said, or just done any of these things. Just start now with whatever that smallest, best version is that you can do. And just know a year from now, you're going to be so happy that you did. as opposed to waiting another week or month or year because you're afraid or you're nervous or any of those things that we all feel anyway. You can do this. You've done it. I've done it. It's not something that's impossible. So many more people are kind of carving out their own unique, weird lives. And it's been no better time to do it than today.
Absolutely. And it's funny, we're going to piggyback on this conversation in two parts. I now host another show on Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. at awaketvnetwork.com. And it's a live show every Thursday at 7 a.m. And we're going to be talking with Mary Jo Larai this week about this subject. And also on Thursday evening, look out if you follow Deepak Chopra on Facebook. I'm very, very privileged and honored to get to co-moderate a panel with he and Don Hoffman at UC Irvine. And I think we're going to be streaming the event live. So follow Deepak Chopra, and we're going to be talking a lot about consciousness and how our consciousness determines reality. So I do invite you to check out both of those things this Thursday. I think it'll be around Thursday evening, around 6 p.m., that you should look for the live streaming with Deepak Chopra. And Jason, do tell our listeners, you know, was there anything else I didn't get a chance to ask you about the book today that you'd love to leave them with, aside from that lovely quote?
No, I mean, I think this conversation has been awesome. And I think that if anybody at this point is either really excited to read the book, you can find Own Your Weird wherever books are sold. It's also on Audible if you want to listen to my melodious voice for, I think, 8 hours. That was fun to record. And actually, the reviews of the audiobook have been really fantastic, which is great. So Own Your Weird wherever books are sold. And if you want to check out more of what my wife and I are up to, you want to see the real behind building an online business and what it actually takes, we have a website at wanderingaimfully.com. And yeah, just been really fun to chat with you. Loved connecting on your story as well, and a privilege to talk to all of your listeners.
Absolutely. Well, maybe we'll meet in Bali or Europe one of these days. So looking forward to it, Jason. And please do check out Jason's book, Own Your Weird. It's been delightful and so much fun to have you on and have this conversation, especially, you know, the first week of the new year. And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in today. Of course, we do invite you, check us out on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. You can always leave us any comments. Feedback is always greatly appreciated, or any ratings to help us grow the show. Share it with your friends. And you can also find us on Facebook under Get Yourself the Job, where sometimes we'll share other articles and press releases on there from other authors and influencers, as well as global thought leaders. So it's been a privilege to have you on today, Jason. Thank you so much for everybody who tuned in today. And wishing everybody a wonderful rest of your week.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.